I still remember the man with his funny glasses. I remember my classmate. We called the guy Kalugas. He said, "You're a fool. Come and write your own." He gave the guy a chop. Go and write your own. The guy was, "I'm very sorry, sir." Then after a while, the man looked at it and discovered that he was wrong. He went there, corrected it without apologies. That is the problem when you are the preacher. Anything you say is good. Anything you do is correct. If after church you come out and fight, box everybody, people will go home and say, "That our pastor does not take nonsense." If it's a normal person that did it, though, they'll say, "Control yourself. What's wrong with you? As a Christian, you'll be..." But what's the pastor? "I like that pastor. He doesn't take nonsense." Ah, they think it's only holy, holy. The man is strong. I'll be talking. And all the men will get home, they become troublemakers. Why? Because they saw pastor punching somebody. Listen, when he has finished punching unjustly, God will give him his just recompense of reward. And those of you who copied him without reading your Bible, you're in trouble too. You are following what I'm saying? You are getting the point I am making. I just feel like emphasizing that. Listen, anointing does not produce prosperity. Let me emphasize that one again. The fact that you are anointed doesn't mean you have money. Are you getting my point? Should I say this one more or the other one? If you pastor a church, it does not mean the church will be big. This is the annoying side. It kind of doesn't guarantee anything more than the fact that if anybody listens to you as a preacher, he will be blessed. That's all it guarantees. If you need money, you got to pray like everybody else who's not a preacher. In fact, I told you anointing is dangerous. If you now use the microphone and say, "Well, now I need money." Once you use it to get the money, one stroke against you. I tell you, say, "God, you see, he's not a wicked person in reality. He's very kind, he's slow to anger, but he vexes. And he counts." The only advantage you have as a believer is he will reveal your sin to you. The Holy Spirit will do that. And he's not even saying, "Feel sorry." You know, all this "feel sorry" is human. God says, just acknowledge that it's an iniquity. Once you do that, the payment that Jesus made for iniquity is automatically applied. That's the advantage as a believer. It doesn't mean that you'll do any urukuruku you like and you get away with it. If the urukuruku will not catch you, it will be because the Holy Spirit revealed it to you and you confessed it, and that way he washes it out of you. You get what I'm saying? So, if the man decides that you now get down here and use the pulpit to collect the thing that is not his own, God marks it against him. He does. So you see, holy living, righteous living is for everybody. Let me just summarize it like that. Anointed or not. Your pastor doesn't guarantee you prosperity. Your anointed does not guarantee you long life. Nothing. What guarantees the average believer is what guarantees the preacher of prosperity and long life. You need something, you get on your knees, you also ask for it. Are you getting my point? Yes, you get on your knees, you ask for it. Righteous living, you participate in it, it gives you long life, it gives you good health. Faithfulness, you exercise yourself in faithfulness. That's what establishes you, whether you're a pastor or not, in long life and prosperity before God. The same thing applies. You know, I was listening to, I was trying to get some tips ready for TV, Omega Channel. That's what I did the whole of today, actually. So there are things I hear, all right, as I was just scanning through them, getting things ready. I said, "Wow, that's very nice. You mean I said that?" And it answers my questions. You understand my personal questions. Now, when you hear from my mouth, you think I know it. I don't know whether I get my point. You understand? No, I don't know it. I preached it. Only the people that heard it know it. And if I don't take time to hear it, I won't know it. Even though it came from my mouth. That's what anointing is. So, I can finish preaching one day, say, "Oh, hot, man,
God, that man, oh my God.
You see me tomorrow, I'm doing the exact opposite of what I preached yesterday. You get what I'm saying? This is, you know, they pay me. If I'm the one observing it, it doesn't pay me. He's a normal human being. Just that he's the goat. Sorry, he's the donkey that the Lord rode into the meeting. That day. You understand my point? When the Lord comes down from his back, he had better collect the thing that the Lord served through him that day. That's just the way it is. So if you see a man living against, contrary to what he's preaching, it's just that he has not listened to that word. What God does for you as a believer, he gives you understanding. All right? He teaches you his ways. And actually, that's why we're here. That's my own quest in life. All right? I want the people of God to know the ways of God. You know why? Because I said that Abraham, God gave him. I mean, go and study, listen to our series in Genesis. Many things happened to him. Somebody came and took his wife and married. That's a very terrible thing to do to a man. Frank. You know, I mean, you can imagine, in fact, God forbid that is, in Jesus' name, I mean, Abraham, forget, I'm not going that way. I mean, somebody came, collected his wife, and he couldn't do anything about it. Now, listen to that series. That was an experience. There were things that God had to teach him through that experience. Let me summarize because we don't have all the time. By the time it was, when the time was ripe for the sacrificing of Isaac, Abraham had learned all the lessons. Let's assume from the time he received the promise till Isaac was to be sacrificed was about 40 years. Assuming that Isaac was about 15, all right? I don't know is that age. But let's assume it was about 15. So it was about 40 years of working with God that God used to prepare him to be able to sacrifice Isaac. But his blessing would still not have been confirmed if he did not accept to sacrifice Isaac. Are you getting what I'm saying? With all the promises, if you don't do what is right, you will not receive the promise. In fact, what I taught in Oka on Sunday was, I titled it the fulfillment of God's promises. That's what I called it. And what you've heard me teach that before about what I call poor Jonah. That, listen, God gives us a promise. We have to walk in a particular way before we can get it. And he said concerning Abraham that I have chosen him because he will teach his children and his household after him the will of the Lord so that they will practice righteousness and justice. So that you'll be able to bring upon Abraham the things that he had promised. Without their practice of righteousness and justice, there is no bringing to pass anything. So what does God do? He teaches. The Bible says, him he will teach in the way that he shall choose. That's what he does for the people that he loves. He teaches them. In fact, when I was in Oka, I made a statement. It was as after I made a statement, I said, this is very nice. But those things I've taught before. That if you go and read Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, I think to around chapter 8 of Proverbs, they were not the Proverbs of Solomon, they were the Proverbs of David. I made a statement like this. I said, those were not the Proverbs of Solomon, they were the Proverbs that made Solomon. I'm not going through that now. That's why he'll tell you, while I was young, my father will say. What am I saying? God taught him the way that he shall choose. I've taught it here before, that by the time God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? It wasn't a request as what do you want. It was a test for the classes he had taken. This is the exam day. It was a test. It wasn't, let me see what you really want. It was a test. Like, listen, your father taught you this all these years. He instructed your mother to teach you. He had a school of instructors. E.W. Bolling, I have a Bible, companion Bible. The man's name is Bollinger. He explained that principle. That it was as if Solomon had to attend a school that was made for a prince. David had learned the lesson. What I mean by that is that all the children he had early, he didn't teach them anything. The record was that he never corrected Absalom once. Absalom was spoilt. Handsome outside, rotten inside. He was spoilt properly. The Bible said that. Was it Absalom that Adonijah? I think it was Absalom. They said the Bible says his father had never corrected him once. So it was time for Solomon. The game was different. Solomon was flogged, so he recorded, "He that the father loveth, he chastises." Adonijah and Absalom couldn't write that. "He that the father loveth, he allows his hair to grow long and sit and be fine boy in Israel." That's what Absalom will write. Solomon said, no. "That the father loves, he works his bum bum." So you see that the lessons of life was what God used to build him up to be a great king. And the day God came to ask him a question, it was a test for the things that he had taught him all these years. What am I saying? What God gives you as a believer is instructions in righteousness. Are you getting my point? And then life now begins to present to you opportunities to practice that which you learnt. You know what God is doing? He's watching. Every day you have to make a decision. It is not the outcome of that decision immediately. That's what I was saying the other day. That's the issue. It is what God records as your principle for making that decision. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, okay, it was last Tuesday I preached, "I would not be discouraged." Remember? Yes. I said, if you do anything and it's wrong, what I meant wrong is that it turns out wrong. You invested money, you lost money. Don't growl and cry over the investment itself. Just go and sit down and ask yourself, did I do the things according to the understanding I had? One. Number two, what have I learned in the process? Don't worry about money. God does not concern himself about money. Money is the smallest of the issues that's there to deal with. If God blows like this, $100 million can drop cash physically in your hands before nightfall. It's not an issue. And if you have $100 million now, if God inhales, you just enter his nose street. That's the end of it. The money has gone. So don't let those things, you know, don't let them disturb you at all. If you have a skyscraper today, if God says, "Osama, I need help," you know what will happen? The skyscraper is coming down. You understand what I'm saying? So don't worry yourself about those things. It's that when things stumble, you sit down and say, "All right, how did we go about that? Were we right? When we did this, was that according to what we had learned?" Paul wrote to Timothy, said, "This word is profitable for instruction in righteousness." Righteousness simply means righteous living. That's what it means. It means how to do that which is right under each circumstance. And like I said, what I'm teaching mainly about that today is that it's at each of those points that God records the things that he uses for judgment. We already discussed what judgment is. Let me tell you something about life. One day, I was talking to somebody. This was many, many years ago, about 13, 14 years now. And that was when the banks in Nigeria were just beginning to boom. They were just beginning to boom. And then, that was when I first realized that you didn't have to do anything near social sciences to be a banker. I mean, you know, Nigeria, that then banks were booming. But I noticed something. I said, I see a lot of irresponsibility in human character. They employ a man today, and he works for 3 months. Then another door opens in the bank next door. Then he leaves this one and goes to the other one because the money is more. And then 6 weeks after he enters into that one, another door opens and he steps into it. And of course, there were testimonies and breakthroughs. They were sowing seeds to open those doors and all of that. All of them showing irresponsibility and being undependable. If the Bible called faithlessness. That's what they were just demonstrating. And I asked one guy once. He stayed in my apartment for a day or two. My friend's other brother or cousin or something. So I asked him. I said, and he happened to be in that line, he said, he was just getting a job in a bank. So I was just discussing with him that these things that people do, they are not right. And I said, no, that's the quickest way to move forward. And he said, I understand what they mean. If you're an assistant manager, if you're an officer here, as an example, your experience as an officer here, you get to another bank, they can make you assistant manager. The next bank will not make you an assistant manager. They'll make you a deputy manager. And if you're a deputy manager for some time, the next guy employing you will make you a manager. So, what they used to do was to grab titles, jump from here to the other, you know, in the midst of it, and the money was good. The change, I mean, when one bank is employing you, they know you are in bondage, you know, they are bonded to the other bank, they will pay you enough money to buy your freedom from the other bank. You know what I'm saying? But I told everybody, I said, it is not right. I said, this is what is called unfaithfulness. This is what is called covetousness. I don't care how much money you are making. I don't give you a hoot. The point is, it is not right. You can't take a job here today. In 3 months, you didn't go for any other reason than more money. They explained to me, no, it's the quickest way to move forward. You know what I was hearing in me? It is a wrong thing. I don't care how fast it moves you forward. It's a wrong thing. Anyway, when some of the banks started beginning to, you know, vibrate a bit, they did what they call LIFO. Last in, first out. Yeah, that was where they started from. Last in, first out. So a boy that hops too much, he will just enter into a bank that's about to LIFO him. You come in 3 months, and then they say, sorry guys, we got to trim down. And they start from the last to come in. See, whether that judgment came or did not come is besides the point. I looked at it, I said, this is not right. I am not saying people never move. Do you get my point? You know, that's not what I'm saying. But then, this one which human beings just can't depend on you is not right. I said, for goodness sake, have a conscience. Have a goal about for life that's bigger than just any more cash. Tell Christians, don't just jump up and down because the money is more. There are things that are more excellent than money. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are. There are. I'm not discussing that now. Just I use that one as an example to let you know that it is not the result we are talking about. We settle down. The word of God is what is profitable for instruction in righteousness. If it is right, it is right. Each time God gives us the opportunity, life presents a challenge to us, make a choice. This is the thing. It is because God has two things he does, all right? One, I'll talk about that, or the other one, maybe later, not now. But one of the things he does, there are two of them. One is that he's saying, I have taught you all this while. Are you getting my point? Actually, you know, God is interesting. I think there are two things he does. The second one he does is that he exposes. You know, he uses those things to expose yourself to yourself. You get my point? You don't know how wicked you are until you see Bathsheba, Bathing, and Uriah has gone to battle. You get my point? Until then, David told me, I mean, come on, what is it? I have my own wives. I mean, what's wrong with all of you? You know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. You really don't know. But God saw that one in David. He said, hi, David, oh, you don't get it. All right. Then go and take a stroll. Then that was just to expose him. That was just to expose him. All right? That is one. But the one I'm talking about is that when God has trained you, when he has trained you, he gives you opportunities to practice that which he has trained you concerning. And then the result of that encounter is what he uses to determine where you will get to in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about, the principle of judgment. So they spoke to Governor Felix. Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. What is that self-control? Let me tell you something. I know I say it all the time. It means self will want to do one side, then we will control it. And that's what is called the control of self, self-control. That's what it is. Because what life does is to mount pressure on you to react in a particular way. Then what the word of God does is to build strength into your spirit so as to control the self. And it's the extent to which self has been controlled that a man is lifted, a woman is elevated before God. Are you getting what I say? But don't forget what I said. First thing, I'm about to finish now. First thing that God does is to train. Listen, whether you went for training or not, once God has presented the opportunity for training to you, you have been trained as far as it's concerned. The test will come at the appropriate time. I don't know whether you heard that. Did you hear that? Let's assume that. Now, we are here studying the Bible, all right? Imagine that there's a friend of yours, you're going for Bible study. Say, come, let us go. He said, man, what is it? Come, let us go. Maybe one day you come from Bible study and you bring one Pastor Banky's book, or you go to a bookshop, you buy a Kenneth Hagin book or something. You just buy, you listen to one message, you bring it. He listens to it. He says, my God, this is good, though. The next time he goes for Bible study, he says, come, let us go. He said, man, you is plain. Let us go. Oh, boy, I won't sleep. Let us go. Man, we don't say we'll not get money now. How person go trek that distance? Now, listen to me. First year, second year. Let us assume in the fifth year, both of you get married, as an example. The last 4, 5, 6 years that you have been saying, let us go, it has not been going. God had been training you in how to be a good husband or a good wife. He had been teaching you how to make marriage successful, even though you didn't go for a seminar on marriage. But because you are in the same generation, because that's what God does, each generation has its time. It's the same time for everybody. If you're in that generation, it's the same time. Do you understand? So when it is time to test that generation, every nigger in that generation gets tested. If he likes, don't go for class. It's like school. Exam time is exam time. And all this one of, I'm a member of the school team. It's your personal problem. Exam time is exam time. Are you following my point? Now, this is what I'm making. Both of you now get married. Marriage is a very... Hey, Frank. It's a serious test of man. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like I told you that time, if you see a man beating his wife, don't be angry with him. Be afraid for yourself. You know what I'm saying? They say, yeah, can be wicked, very wicked. Hey, hey. You just go and pray. You say, go and kneel and say, dear Lord. Now, wow. I saw that man beating his wife today. And I was there when he married her. He loved her plenty. What happened? He said, Lord, I don't know exactly, but can you just help me so that that will never happen to me? The Lord will say, good boy, good boy, good boy. We say, no, I can never do that. He said, Lord. All right, you will soon. You will soon crow 5 times before the cock crows once. You know, that was what Peter did. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So, the point I'm making is that, as an example, so that right thing is a test. It's a serious test. It's a very serious test of being who, of manhood, a man. You understand my point? And there is nobody's born strong, amen? Nobody's born strong. Some people are born insensitive, some people are born stupid, some people are born stubborn. Nobody's born strong. Some people you call strong, they are just careless, useless, senseless, you know what I'm saying? Where they're supposed to run, they don't go run. Those of when we're young, they told us that when you learn martial arts, one of the first things they teach you is how to disappear. You know, that you only fight when you can't run. Some people think, just use force because it's naturally in decrease. You understand my point? That is, nobody's born strong. It's only training. The Bible says a wise man is what? Strong. It's wisdom that has been poured into him that makes him strong. It's wisdom. What am I saying? So that fellow that refused to go for training for years, the time of testing, it will be falling. Falling. The Bible says that when you faint in the day of adversity, it is because your strength is small. When the wisdom of God was building strength into people, he wasn't there. And as far as God is concerned, oh boy, all this, let us go, you were hearing. It is the Holy Spirit. You think he's a human being? I know he's your friend, but it's the Holy Spirit. And I can prove that to you from scriptures. The Lord said that, they asked the Lord, when did we see you and we did not help you? He said, it's the least of my saints that he did not help, that he did not help me. So when the least of the saints say, come, let us go and study the word of God, and you do not go, it is the leading of the Holy Spirit you have rejected. You are getting what I'm saying. Everybody is trained. Everybody is given the opportunity for training so that they can excel in the day of adversity. And God doesn't care whether you learned it or not. Do you get what I'm saying? It is your responsibility to learn it. But if you go to learn, the Holy Spirit will open your heart and help you. But if you resist that, no trouble. He keeps counting the time as if you were going for class. The day of exam, Both you that went and learnt, and you that refused to go, and therefore did not learn anything, you are tested the same day. One man succeeds, another man fails. Why? Because the days of testing is when God is now determining what his future will really be like. But before he tested him, he invited him for learning. That's why you hear wisdom shout. He said, does wisdom not cry out? Are you getting my point? He shouts to the naive ones, discern wisdom. He's shouting, but they don't want to hear. It is the wisdom that Solomon learned all the years that the father was leading him that finally was tested one day. And you know the result of it. When the man passed the test, God now looked and said, listen, you learned the seed. No, I told you seed and harvest are two different things. There's faith as a seed. Then there is a fruit of the spirit called faith. He said, you learned the wisdom that's a seed. Now let me give you the wisdom that's a harvest. Are you getting my point? And with that, he gave him wealth. He gave him honor. He gave him dignity. He gave him everything. More than he had the capacity to dream about. Because there was no king as wise and as rich as he was by the time he was growing up. Therefore, he didn't have the capacity to dream the things that came to pass in his life. His father did not see a fragment of the wealth that Solomon saw. Solomon's father, David, he didn't see a fragment. He did not see a fragment. Nobody came from afar to come and be listening to David. They came from afar to make peace, lest he invades our society. You get my point? But David sowed the seed of wisdom into his life. He learnt it. Then God came one day, he tested him. Then when the man passed the test, God now used that to elevate him in life. And that's what we are all going through. That's why, listen, you know, acquire wisdom. Wait, no way, that thing, no big joke. Wisdom is the principal thing. He said, therefore, do what? Get wisdom. Frank. Ask my wife, that time, just before we married and shortly after we married, she used to wonder that, wait. But one day she actually asked me, are you saying all these other people, everybody is wrong? They are all wrong. And only you are correct. You know, if you say yes to that, that's pride. So I thought to Kai. I said, now, wow, which kind of temptation is this today? So, and I asked her a simple question. I said, can you remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt? And when they reached Kadesh Barnea, they said they went into the promised land. And 12 spies went to look around and came back. Two spies said, we can enter. And nobody, apart from Moses, agreed with them. And then 10 spies said, we can enter. And millions of people agreed with them. I said, let me ask you a question. Who was right? You know, I didn't say yes or no. I now said, this is not what my father taught me. This is not what society taught me. I am not telling you things I heard about. I'm telling you what I read from the scriptures. If language has any meaning, and what I read is the way it is written in the scriptures, yes, my girl, I think I'm right. Frank, 11 years later, my wife will never doubt that statement. She knows this guy is right too. Better believe him. Better believe, because the following year, amongst her friends, she was about the first to marry. Then the rest were getting married. And then, gist now began. He will now be telling her things. And she will say, with my husband, that can never happen. Then she now realized that this nigga was right. Simply because it is predicated upon the revelation of the word of God. There are things I learned. The two shall become one flesh. I heard pastors teach some things, and I will tell my friends, this guy is wrong. And that is, we'll sit down, and I said, no, I don't care. He's a pastor, I know. But the Bible didn't say what he's saying. This is society coloring his opinion and his personal character. Americans say things that are based upon the fact that girls don't need parental consent to marry. You understand my point? That is, the whole society is upside down. So they teach scriptures from that background. I say, I'm sorry, that is wrong. This is what the Bible says. If anybody disagrees with me, fine. Let him just be sure he's agreeing with God, and I will learn from him. Frank. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Have you learned anything today? This is a summary of it. Let me just summarize in one statement. He said there's righteousness. That is, we learn the right things to do. There's self-control. That is, sometimes when we get into circumstances, the flesh wants to do one thing, but our knowledge, our understanding of the righteous ways of God, we control the flesh to do another way. And then, based upon how we master that situation, God now elevates us. That's what we're talking about. Therefore, every Christian must strive. That's the word, strive. We must labor to enter. Like I say all the time, God has a word, not just an opinion, but a will concerning every situation. And his will is revealed in the scriptures. And there are people, of which I'm one of them, that are commissioned to teach the will of God, you know, one of the general will of God, to the body of Christ. And it's everybody's responsibility to make sure they learn. It's every, listen, I'm so happy the way God helped me over the years, and I still teach people like that. Go around, make sure, look, I say people, they are they are applying to get married. So, which book have you read that deals with marriage at all? They can't tell you anything. Nothing. They've not made any attempt, nothing. So, you are going to marry with the culture of the peoples, and you reap the rewards of working like the people. God will have mercy. He will have mercy when you repent. You know, repentance is a good thing. But then it's not just mercy like, all right, I have had mercy on you. Go and sin no more. And then things go sweet. No. It is mercy of now. Let me start teaching you. And until you learn it, you remain in your sufferings. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I think I've summarized it and I've finished my message, Faith Basics, for this year.